Today on Real Radio.
So when the world thinks about what a Christian man looks like, you just saw Christian men. But I want to argue with you guys tonight that there's a far cry from what we ought to be seeing as Christian men in what we see in and around our lives today. There needs to be a radicalization of Christian men. And I mean that literally. I'm talking about Christian men who pick up the Word of God, and no matter what, they're going to follow it and they're going to do it. The world needs to see Christian men like never before. And so, guys, I'm going to ask you to keep this in mind. Your personal individuality, God has created. God's made you that way. But the very important thing to keep in mind is that the Lord is molding and shaping you into a Christian, and He maintains your personality.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a collection of topical studies taken from scripture passages that instruct us and give us examples of how to live as believers in an unbelieving world. Some of the titles in this series, Being a Christian at Your Job, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, and so forth. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Being a Christian While Being a Man.
Colossians chapter 1, and we are looking at our theme verses, for this entire series. Colossians chapter 1, and beginning at verse 9 down to verse 14. For this reason, said Paul to the church at Colossae, he says, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with a knowledge of His will. God wants you to know what His plan is for your life. And in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. And that's the heart of the Christian, to please the Lord. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, thank God for that, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we're looking at being a Christian while being a man. And what is the picture of the Christian man? And when people think today about a Christian and a man, the world out there, I want you to know something. Outside the walls of this church, when the world begins to think about what a Christian and a man looks like, they don't have a clue. What they conjure up in their mind is some sort of a backwood, knuckle-dragging dope who is some just wimpy Christian thing who doesn't know his right hand from the left. And you're going to be seeing these slides. We know these people to be actual Christians. Look at them. They look like people you work with. They look normal. Christians. Real normal people. Look at that guy. Look at him. Christians. There's a couple of them coming up. Look at them, that great. There's a couple of them coming up that you're going to recognize. One of these guys coming up should be one of our friends. And we're just going along here. Ah, you saw him. Great, wonderful believer. Kurt Warner, bold believer for Jesus. There's a friend of mine, Jason Elam. Loves the Lord Jesus. Place kicker for Atlanta Falcons. Hall of Famer. John Voight. What's her name? Angelina Jolie's dad. Loves the Lord Jesus. Bold Christian in Hollywood. It's amazing. There's one of my favorite Christians of all time. George Washington's daughter said, you might as well challenge his patriotism before challenging his Christianity, because there was no doubt about George and his faith. And then one of the great Christians of all time, Sir Isaac Newton. Amazing. So listen, these are Christians. So when the world thinks about what a Christian man looks like, you just saw Christian men. But I want to argue with you guys tonight that there's a far cry from what we ought to be seeing as Christian men and what we see in and around our lives today. There needs to be a radical and a radicalization of Christian men. And I mean that literally. I'm talking about Christian men who pick up the Word of God, and no matter what, they're going to follow it and they're going to do it. The world needs to see Christian men like never before. And so, guys, I'm going to ask you to keep this in mind. Your personal individuality, God has created. God's made you that way. But the very important thing to keep in mind is that the Lord is molding and shaping you into a Christian, and He maintains your personality. You are a man. Guys, listen, God made you the way that you are, and He wants to use you that way. This is a very, very important thing. So point number one in our study tonight, we're going to run through these. We got a lot of ground to cover. Being a Christian while being a man, what does a Christian man look like? Number one, mark it down. The Christian man stands up. And this is what I want to talk about tonight on this point. When I talk about the Christian man standing up, guys, I'm going to be giving you a pep talk tonight, in that when we say stand up, we mean just radical change agent. That's what God wants from Christian men. Guys, raise your hand if you're a guy. If you're confused, we'll talk to you after service, but you should raise your hand. Okay, now, just for our argument tonight, I'm just going to assume that all of us are Christian. I know that's not the case, but all of us guys, let's just assume tonight that I'm speaking to Christian men. Christian men should be radical, and a Christian man becomes radical when he decides to read the Bible and obey it. Now, check it out. Did you see the news today? Somebody in New York read the Quran. Who knew the Quran. He was a Muslim, faithful to the Quran. Did you see the news? What did he do to his wife today in New York? He beheaded his wife. You say, why would he do such a thing? It was an honor killing, and the Quran teaches that. He was a faithful follower of the Quran. Now listen, if you are going to be a faithful follower of the Bible, men, rather than beheading people, you are going to be lifting people up. The Bible says that we love even our enemies, and that includes our wives, or for those of you who are single, girlfriends, or your bosses. Guys, we need to leave this church tonight radicalized, and I'm not going to apologize for that word. If the world is seeing a radicalization and a manifestation of Islam, then what if the world saw a radicalized version of Christianity? Listen, the world has already seen a radicalized version of Christianity, and that was Jesus, and that was the disciples, and that was the first century church, and that's been the church ever since. Who decides and yields to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? That is very, very important that you understand that. We as a church are powerless without the Holy Spirit in our lives. Absolutely essential. So when we talk about the radicalization, we're talking about a Christian man standing up. And I don't know how young you might be in here tonight, but you need to decide tonight, young man, that you're going to stand for Jesus. My goodness, the best that we can tell in history, Jeremiah was taken captive somewhere around the age of 14 years of age. Daniel was somewhere between 12 to 18 years of age, taken captive. And these guys were radical for God. They were awesome for God. And so a Christian man who decides to stand up is a man that's going to be a leader. God's called you to be a leader. He made you a man. The world is against men. I want you to understand that. See, that's an insane thing to say. No, look at Hollywood. Look at the media. Men are... I had a word in my head that I can't use right now. But men have been removed from the place that God's ordained them to hold. And it's a very sad thing. The world needs to see Christian men energized. And that being true, men, Christian men, become change agents. Why? Because a Christian man who walks with the Lord, God anoints that person. You guys, wherever you go, that you will affect those around you for Christ. Now, some people might accept Christ because of you. Some people might reject Christ because of you. Some people might choose to be indifferent because of you. But that's not our job. We are to be witnesses for Christ in every situation at all times. We can't be too old to be a witness for Christ, and we can't be too young. It's important. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 to 15 says, "Now therefore," and Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel, "fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods or the idols which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Notice that. There's no neutral ground, huh? You're serving somebody. Remember that? What's his name? That song he sang? Got to serve somebody. Remember that? It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. There's no middle ground. And Joshua is saying, you've got to pick, you've got to choose whether the gods of your fathers served were they on the other side of the river, or the gods, listen, these pagan foreign gods in the land in which you dwell. But he says, listen, and I love it. Guys, listen, no matter how old, no matter how young you are tonight, the Lord says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Look, he's basically saying, Israel, you can fall in the tank if you want to. But the house of Joshua, at our address, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's what Christian men need to do. And it's not some day that maybe when you say, I do, at the altar, or when you get your Social Security card or your driver's license, that now I'm going to serve the Lord. Listen, if you're able to hear this message right now, now's the time to say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to stand up. Number two, mark it down. Number two is this, being a Christian, well, being a man, and what does a Christian man look like in this world, is a man who stands out. A Christian man should stand out. Hey, listen, remember Joseph in Egypt? You say, well, Jack, he was good looking, that's why he stood out. That's true, the Bible says he was good looking. And he looked different in even his pigmentation of skin. Joseph was probably your average Hebrew, which is olive-complected, either blue or green eyes, light blue or light green eyes, very stunning. The Israelis are extremely handsome people, beautiful people. Joseph probably looked amazing compared to those in Egypt. I'm not knocking Egyptians. They were probably great-looking too. But Joseph was different. He was different-looking, and he stood out, but that's not what got him in trouble. Remember Potiphar's wife came flirting with him? The Bible says every day she cast longing eyes upon him. Man, that is just lusty kind of talk for the Bible. Longing eyes. I don't know what that... It's like casting a... She's reeling him in. And she's flirting and flirting and flirting and flirting with him, and he had enough of it. And she had enough of it. She couldn't take it. She's all fired up and in a hormonal rage. She goes down to where he's at, and she grabs him, and she just bold-faced, she says, lie with me. She's so subtle. Take me to bed. Take me down, Joseph. And he runs. He runs. Listen, Christian men, I don't care what this culture says and does to us any longer. It's time to run, guys. It's time to run. It's time to take your computer or your phone now. Now you've got all this porno on your phone. You need to either throw the thing away if you can't handle it, okay? Throw it away, burn the computer, blow it up, or whatever it takes. Just get, run, will you? Run. You say, you got to be, are you kidding? You think I'm going to do that to my computer? You have no idea, dude, later on what you're sowing to. The Bible says what you sow to, you're going to reap from it. And I'm telling you, you think you just take a peek at something and it doesn't lodge in your brain? Listen, man, there's stuff that before I was a Christian, 19 years of age and earlier, that if I relax my brain right now, all those things come back in my head in technicolor. Satan will see to it. And I can't even barely remember where I parked my car. Isn't it sick? You guys, some of you guys are going, yep, 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 yep. It's a very dangerous thing. Christian men, we need to stand out from this world and be holy men, righteous men, godly men, making the right decisions and doing the right thing. You say, well, Jack, how do I do that? I'm going to introduce you to the Bible. Read it. Read it more than the sports page. Read it more than the funnies. Read it more than the internet. The Bible, read it. If it makes you feel better, if you're going to keep your computer, put the Bible on the computer and read it there. We need to stand out and be men of God. This is a very important thing because when we talk about a man standing out, we're talking about character. It's time for us to focus on our character. And God is looking for men tonight that stand out. And this is vital. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, then the 12 summoned the multitude together of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. We got to study the Bible to give sermons. The church is growing. We got too much to do. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourselves seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Every one of us, guys, no matter who we might be, every one of us tonight need to say once again and every day, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit afresh. I want to live this day for your glory, Jesus, and I want to be radical for you today. I want to stand out. And I'm asking if you'll take that challenge and do that. A Christian man becomes a man known to others as a man of morals, a man of uprightness. It's absolutely imperative. People mock Christianity today, and I don't blame them. There are so few leaders in Christianity today. Thank God. I don't agree with all of his doctrine, but thank God that Billy Graham has kept himself pure all these years and scandalous free. Thank God for that. He's a holy man. We need to do the same thing. We need to remember that in a sense, more powerful than a stadium watching us is the fact that God is watching. And we want to love him and bless him with how we conduct our lives. A Christian man ought to be a man respected. When somebody sees you in the community, at school, junior high, at the football game, whatever, listen, respect it. I didn't say that they would love you. They'll probably hate you. But you know what? We need to understand what respect means also. That when the world respects us, it doesn't mean they're going to run up and give us a kiss and give us roses. They could hate us, but they actually respect the stand we take. They don't agree with it, but they respect it. And I'm hoping that this message tonight gets mainly, especially to the young people. You say, well, how does that happen? The Bible says, for example, and it's all about choice. How does that happen? You make a choice. Guys, listen. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, this is awesome stuff. Daniel's in captivity. The government, listen, has turned hostile towards believers in the God of the Bible. And anybody caught praying is going to die. You say, oh man, that's radical. Yeah, well, it could happen in your lifetime. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. They just outlawed prayer. Literally, in Babylon, Daniel says, well, they just signed the bill into action. He goes home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem. You guys, are you with me, everybody? Are you listening? They just signed a bill in Babylon saying, we'll kill anybody who prays to the God of the Jews. Hey, Daniel, they just signed the bill. Oh, it's law now. So what does he do? He goes home, opens up the window, faces towards Jerusalem. He kneels down on his knees three times a day to pray and give thanks to God. And as was his custom since early days of his life, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And that all led to the lion's den situation. Men of God, men deciding, young men, middle-aged men, old men deciding, I'm going to follow God no matter what. And you take a stand and you stand out and you make that way that I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what. Listen, like never before, we need men unwavering, I am going to do what God has told me to do and shown me in the Word of God. And even if, listen, even if the government says you can't pray in Jesus' name, guess what you do? You pray in Jesus' name. That is holy disobedience. You do that. You say, well, but it's against the law. Listen, not all laws are good. There are ungodly laws. Didn't the disciples teach us in the book of Acts that there are laws, when passed and enforced, that are so anti-Christ? For example, they told the disciples, no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, you know, you got the right to make your laws. This is a human government and all that stuff. But we answer to a different law. And we will not stop preaching the name of Jesus. It's better for us to obey God rather than man. And it is my prayer that there'll be men, Christian men, living the Christian life. We need to do this, guys. You say, well, okay, how? You decide to read this book. See, well, you keep going to the book. That's right. We have to just decide. I will do this. Number three, listen, number three, the Christian man stands in, as it were, in the gap. The Christian man is to stand in, meaning that he is to be a servant to all. I read in the newspaper today, front page of the Daily Bulletin. I know this guy. He's a good man. He knows the Lord. Kurt Hagman, who was elected assemblyman, sent to Sacramento. He had just gotten home from 30-hour meeting at the Capitol in Sacramento. Just gets home, gets into his apartment, and he's from Chino Hills. He's one of our own. And here's a horrible accident outside the window of his apartment, runs out there, and the cars and the accident are ablaze and burning with the occupants trapped inside. And he pulls them out and saves their lives. That is awesome. And you should email his office, by the way. You should email his office and just acknowledge that. But he's a guy who, think about it, he could have said, you know what, that sounded like an accident. I've been working for 30 hours. Let the fire department deal with it. Those people would have burned to death by then. He got involved. In Mark chapter 10, verse 44, the Bible says, whoever of you desires to be the first shall be slave or servant of all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not come to be served, but to serve. A Christian man is a man who stands in and serves. Listen, this is important. A Christian man becomes a doer. So how do you know if you're a Christian or not? You know what? One of the things, are you with me, everybody? One of the things is the Holy Spirit, if he lives inside of you, he will not let you collect any moss under your feet. You know what I mean? No, you don't know what I mean, because you live in Southern California where it hardly ever rains, right? You can't sit still. You can't be idle. The Holy Spirit, if he truly lives in you, will drive you. It's that love relationship. He will drive you, and you'll be excited about it. You'll be a doer. You'll be a goer or a sender or a whatever God wants. Christian men, our life and Bible series, this is vitally important to us tonight.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Being a Christian While Being a Man, a valuable examination of several scripture passages that speak on this topic, and part of a series we're presenting here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this is a series our teacher recently concluded and is now available for purchase in either CD or DVD. You can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous support of its listeners. Till next time. we at Real Radio, and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.